in the midst of a series, Awaken, that hopefully is challenging us as a church to awaken to the power that lies within this room. I just want you to look around and just imagine, for just a small amount, imagine if every one of us would awaken up to the power that God has placed in our lives. If we would awaken to the potential that God has created each one of us to have, if every single one of us could live to that potential. Now, first, we have to believe that we have potential. Claire and I were watching a movie last night. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the movie. How many of you have ever seen Rudy? Raise your hand. For those of you who are not raising your hand, you need to watch that movie. Rent it. Watch it sometime on TV. It's a great movie. And I'm going to tell you about the movie, but you're still okay, because I've seen it like 25 times and it still hits me every time I watch it. That Rudy is somebody who is, he's smaller than me, weighs a lot less than me, and has probably the athletic skill of me. He's not very talented in his athletic abilities, and yet he wants to play football for the University of Notre Dame. And so Rudy has this desire to play football. And so he goes, and first he has to get into the college, and he does that, and then he goes to play. And in his last game of his senior year, he has the ability to dress out, run out with the team, and lead the team actually out. And the very last play of the game, he gets to make a tackle. And it's just, it's awe-inspiring. But the thing about Rudy is that throughout that movie, Rudy always believed in his potential. Rudy always believed that he could be what he envisioned himself to be. But we don't often always live that way. Instead, we often think of ourselves as underappreciated and insignificant. I mean, we look around at people around us and we think, okay, they have got it going on. We look around them and we see them and as though they have become the who's who of that particular area, whether you're a teacher, you're in business, whatever you may do, you look around and you say, okay, they've got things going on, they've got everything seemingly together, and you kind of look at them as being the who's who, and you kind of look at yourself as being more of just the who. And we don't look at ourselves as having the same potential as everyone else. We want to be, I mean, we want to be the people that are the stars. We want to be the people that are the main man or woman, who, you know, whatever it may be, but often in the reality of it, we end up being, like in my case, more known as Latham's dad, Lydia's dad. We were riding around the other day with this little kid that's our neighbor, and not y'all's, and another one, and she was like Lydia's dad, and I'm like, you've lived beside me for 2 years, you know, but that's just how you refer to him, as Lydia's dad or Claire's husband or Tommy and Wayne's youngest son or the pastor at the well. Each of those are characteristics of me, and each of those are not bad. But the problem is that we often get caught up in those type of characteristics that we lose our true sense of identity. We lose who we truly are. And then we carry this over into our faith. And don't think that those aren't connected. We do. We carry them over to our faith so that when God calls us for a purpose, whatever that purpose may be, God calls us for that purpose, we then view ourselves as insignificant, overlooked, underappreciated. And we don't think that we have the ability to carry out what God has asked us to do. But often if you look in scriptures, you see God using, more often than not, you see God using people just like me and you. One of the most overlooked characters that we see in the Bible, I don't know if it's because he didn't have a dynamic personality, I don't know if he was not good looking, I don't know what the reason was, but what you can see in the person of Andrew, you can see somebody who is extremely overlooked. You can see somebody who you would might think is not necessarily very impactful. I mean, he could be the poster child for underappreciated. He's mentioned 12 times in Scripture, the person of Andrew. He's mentioned 12 times in Scripture, and 4 of those 12 times, he is simply referred to as Simon's brother. So 1 out of 3 times that he's mentioned in Scripture, he's just referred to as Simon's brother. He lives an entire life in the shadow of Simon, who becomes Peter. So he lives in Peter's shadow. He has no identity. And most people would look around, if you talk to people and say, what do you know about Andrew? I mean, what do y'all know about Andrew? Most of us, if we know anything about Andrew, we know he's Simon's brother. That's about the extent of our knowledge of Andrew. But yet, his lack of notoriety should not be misconstrued with his impact on the kingdom of God. Because Andrew had a very significant impact on the kingdom of God. And that's what I want us to see is today, is to learn what we can learn. If we're talking about awakening our spirit, awakening to the power of God, what can we can learn from Andrew? If you've got your Bibles, turn to the first chapter of John. In John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 40 through 42. The scripture reads this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. So now one of the things that I think that we can see in this passage that Andrew had, one of his character traits would have been a person of humility. Andrew was not focused on himself. Andrew was always focused on some other people. As soon as Andrew encountered Jesus, what did he do? He went and got his brother. As soon as he encountered Jesus, he went and got Simon. Think about it. Andrew had just met the long-awaited Messiah. What would you do? I mean, you would think that Andrew might would sit around and talk to Jesus, find out what Jesus has to say, and find out maybe what his purpose in life is. I mean, what does Jesus have to say specifically to him? But what Andrew does, the scripture tells us, is Andrew goes and gets Simon and brings Simon back to meet Jesus Christ. I mean, I think Andrew had an incredible attitude of being able to be focused on someone else. Think back to this verse. Andrew had just met Jesus, and he goes and brings Simon to him. And Simon, Jesus looks at Simon, it says he looked intently at Simon, and then changed his name. And told Simon, "You're no longer going to be called Simon, you're going to be called Peter." Changes his very nature. So you see this radical transformation going on in Peter. And remember, Andrew met Jesus first. And in the midst of all this, Andrew meets Jesus. He brings Simon in here. And all of a sudden, Jesus' shift changes entirely to Simon and talks about all this change. I mean, you can almost hear the stories going on. "Peter, you're going to walk on water. Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but you're going to go out and you're going to become the rock of the church. You're going to go out and preach just to thousands of people, and thousands of people are going to hear you and come into the kingdom of God. You're going to be known as one of the greatest disciples." And Andrew, the whole time, what's Andrew doing? Andrew's just sitting to the side watching all of this unfold because he's Simon's brother. What would you have done? I mean, some of us would be going, "Hello, you know, I brought him in here. I introduced you to him. Why are you not making all of these promises to me? Why not tell me the changes that are going to be taking place? Why don't I get to change my name?" I mean, we would have focused that way. But that's not what we see in Andrew. Andrew doesn't do that. Andrew understood that his mission was to connect Simon to Jesus. His mission was to just share the light of Jesus with Simon. By having that right attitude, Andrew was able to not focus so much on what was happening with Peter, but maximizing what God could do with him. Think about that. He wasn't focused. I mean, so many times we get focused on what's God doing in somebody else's life. Why did they get to do that? Why has God called them to do this? We get so focused on others and we don't stop and think about maximizing the very gifts that God has given us. Andrew was a great example of somebody who had the right attitude. He had the ability to win people over. I mean, think about this, that Simon went with him. He went and told Simon that he had met the Messiah. So he had the ability to communicate. He had the ability to win people over. And so Simon comes with him, and he takes that ability and he glorifies God with it. That's what God wants us to do, is whatever ability he places inside of us, to use that to glorify God. Now, he had the right attitude. One of the scriptures that I used last week was that scripture in Matthew 6. Let me show it to you again on the screen. It's Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." That's what Andrew did. He sought the kingdom of God in everything he did. The very first thing he did was to focus on the kingdom of God. Now, we sometimes say, well, we're focusing on our kids. We're focusing on our families. We're building our family up. But then honestly, ask yourself, Are you focusing your kids on kingdom things? Are you focusing your family on kingdom things? Or are we more concerned with getting our kids in the best schools, on the best teams, in the best parts of the play, doing those type things? Or are we focusing our families on the kingdom of God? Andrew was somebody who always focused on the kingdom of God. So many times we want to be kingdom focused, but if we're really honest, we're always in the back of our mind is the question, what's in it for me? What's in this for my family? What God wants us to be focused on is his kingdom, his people. When we have the wrong priorities, what we can often do is hinder other people from that life transformation. See, Andrew, having that right attitude, was able to get Simon to connect, and Simon was able to experience this life transformation that we read about in Scripture and then go out and to share it with other people. But often when we have the wrong attitudes or the wrong priorities, we hinder people from that life transformation. We hinder people from growing in their faith. Before ministry here, actually a couple of churches ago, my first appointment in ministry, I was an associate pastor and had different responsibilities at that time. And one of the responsibilities that I had was kind of fellowship area. And we had kind of worked in that, trying to help people to connect to each other and do those type of things. And we were doing those really well. And I kind of looked around and said, okay, you know what? It's about time for somebody else to assume these responsibilities and me begin to focus in a different area in ministry within the church. And so kind of God led me to a person that I thought that was who God wanted me to hand this ministry off to. And she was perfectly capable of doing it, and she would have done a good job. She would have done it differently than I was doing it. And so that was my concern. And so I didn't, not that I thought she would do a bad job, I just knew that she would do it differently than me. So I ignored God and just, you know, we all do that. I mean, there's times that most of us at some point in time in our life have ignored God. So I just ignored God. I thought, you know what, if I don't talk to her, then I won't have to deal with it. So I didn't. So for several months, rocked on, and I continued on in this ministry. And I'm not kidding you, a couple of months later, she walked up to me and said that she really felt as though she needed to do more involved in this particular aspect of ministry. And I think back at now, and I'm thinking, you know, how funny that, you know, God got the right thing happened. It just, God bypassed me altogether, which was probably a smarter move anyway. But the same thing happened. So I said, okay, so we began to transfer over, and she took on responsibilities of this. And people would come up to me and just, I mean, talk to me what a great job she was doing. And I'm thinking, great, that's just what I want to hear. But she did. She did an awesome job. And she was, and she grew so much in her faith. And I watched her gain so much confidence in her ability to be in relationship with God. I mean, that's part of it, is to understand that when God speaks to you, you know that's God. And that's what I saw her go through, was this transformation, that she came to this place that she knew that when God was talking to her, it was God, and she could go out and she could be bold in her faith. I mean, she was never one that went out and necessarily knocked on doors to preach to people, but you could just see this transformation going on. And I think back and think, you know, I hindered that. For months, I stopped that progress because I had the wrong attitude. I was focused more on me. And then later, I was involved in another ministry that it was time for me to hand off. And she had handed off the fellowship ministry. So then she took over. It was the Stephen Ministries at the time. And if you don't know anything about Stephen Ministry, it's a ministry where you kind of like one-on-one counseling care. And it's an incredible ministry. And she took over that from me. And this lady came through the ministry that she began to get connected to. And I'm not kidding you, I met the lady that she dealt with. I met her a couple of weeks ago when I was at the hospital. I was in the waiting room, and this lady walks past me, and I had not seen her in probably 6 or 7 years. And this is the second lady removed in the story. And I go up to her, and I'm like, introduce myself, and she recognizes me immediately. And she begins to tell me how much this lady had meant to her and how she was going through a period in her life that she just was really dark and she didn't feel God, and how this person allowed her to experience God. And now she's traveling all over the state of Georgia talking about abusive situations and how God found her in the midst of this. All of that was hindered in some degree because of my attitude. How many times do we hinder other people? Attitude is everything in our ability to help people connect to Jesus Christ. I mean, we can learn that from Andrew, and we can learn that from these two ladies. One came into my life for me literally to hook her up to God so that she could hook somebody else up to God. So she could go and speak to hundreds of women that none of us would have been able to speak to. But that's how God works. That's what's so amazing. Our attitude can hinder how we look at things. Attitude can hinder our ability to live out God's purpose. One of the things that we see Andrew is not only was he a person of humility, but he was a person who was a very possibility thinker. How he looked at problems was completely different than most people. The other day we were sitting in the office and I was writing the message and working on the message. And Kyle yells out to me, his office is like two offices over, and he yells out to me, he's got a problem. And I yelled back, or is it an opportunity? Now I'm sure he rolled his eyes. I didn't ask him, but that's what I would have done if he'd yelled that to me. But I was working on the message. It was how we looked at things. We look at things differently, whether it was a problem or whether it was an opportunity. Let me give y'all a quiz. Now, this is a true quiz. Y'all can tell me the answers if you know the answers. But you can't cheat. This isn't, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Okay. Although I do kind of look like with the sports coat on. When Jesus fed the multitudes, fed 5,000 men and a bunch more women and kids. When Jesus fed the multitudes, what did he feed them with? Who knows the answer? I hear something, but anybody know? Fishes and loaves. Okay, that's the correct answer. All right, so how did he get the fishes and loaves? Who was it that gave him the fishes and loaves? Anybody know? A little boy. That's right. It was a little boy. Okay. Now, how did the boy get connected to Jesus? Andrew connected the little boy to Jesus. See, Andrew was always in the background. Andrew was willing to not necessarily be in the spotlight, but he was willing to let his mission just be connecting other people to the light. That was what we saw in Andrew. Andrew spent his entire life connecting other people so that they could experience life transformation. Andrew was the type of person who believed that Jesus had changed his life. Jesus had changed Simon's name, had changed his very nature, and he believed that there was nothing that Jesus couldn't do. Do you still have that same belief? Do you have that same belief that Andrew had? Think about this story. 10,000 people sitting there hungry. Imagine if I was preaching to like 11:45 and all of you are sitting there waiting on me to do something just to shut up so that you can go eat. Imagine that was the kind of look that all of these people had. There were 10,000 of them sitting on the hillside. They're looking for Jesus to do something to feed them. The disciples are running around like chickens with their head cut off because they don't know what to do. And what does Andrew do? Andrew's kind of sitting over on the sidelines, not trying to get the spotlight, but he sees a little boy with lunch. And he recognizes that a little boy with lunch in his hands is just a meal, but they get that same lunch in the hands of Jesus, and it's a miracle. He looks at the possibilities of what God can do. Listen to this passage in John 6. In John 6, verses 8, it says, "Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother," so he's still being called Simon's brother, "spoke up, 'There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.'" He was a living example, or he believed in Scripture to be true, that he believed so much in this next passage. Look at Luke 18. In Luke 18:27, it says, "Jesus replied, 'What is impossible with men is possible with God.'" Andrew saw no limits to life. Andrew saw no obstacle as too big for God to solve. He saw no opportunity as too great for God to bring about a resolution. He looked at everything as being a possibility that God could be glorified as a result of that problem, as a result of that opportunity. See, I think so often we are limited by our thinking. We're limited by by the world's view of what could possibly happen. The lady that I met at the hospital, I hadn't seen her in 6 years. When I first met her, I met her through the Stephen ministry. And I talked to her this week to make sure that I could share her story. And she said, perfectly fine. I met her through the Stephen ministry, and she had a son at that time. He was 3 years old, maybe four. And he was in a wheelchair, severely handicapped, and was not expected to live past the age of five. She was going through lots of different situations on her own, and she really needed to experience God. Everything would tell her that life was not good. She was at the hospital for her son's treatment. He's now 10. And this little boy that was not supposed to live past the age of five walked for the very first time a few months ago at the age of nine. And she gives every bit of glory to God. Every bit of power goes to God Almighty. Because she had no limits. As a person thinks in their hearts, so they become. Andrew had a mentality of no limits. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too large. Nothing is too complicated for God. Andrew saw the disciples running around and he said, you know what? Whatever they're looking at, it's a mess. But God can create a miracle. How do you look at things? When things are looking down, when things are looking bad in your life, do you ever stop and think, I am a child of God. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is too big for my God. That's the kind of person that Andrew was. And with this type of thinking, there is no problem too big. Now back to Andrew, we see that also in Andrew, he had a unique gift of bringing people together. Look at this passage in John 12, verses 20 through 22. The scripture reads, now there were some Greeks among them, among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. So not only was he a possibility thinker, but he was a person who was able to connect a variety and a diverse group of people together. It takes a special person to do that. I mean, think about this. Philip encounters these Greeks who want to encounter Jesus, and who does he go to? He doesn't go to the disciples that are the big disciples. He doesn't go to John. He doesn't go to Peter. He goes to Andrew. He goes to Andrew because he knows Andrew has the ability to bring people together. He knows Andrew has the ability to connect people, to share that light. That's what we see in him. Again, it goes back to no limits. It goes back to no limits because Andrew didn't see anything. He didn't see different geographic areas as stopping what God could do. If we're going to be the church that God created us to be, we can't look at anything as being a barrier too big for God. Whether that's race, whether that's gender, whether that's economic backgrounds, nothing should stop us from sharing the light. And I struggled with this message, and I thought about this, that God changed my life. And because God changed my life, and I said yes to God, he introduced me to a lady by the name of Melissa. And because Melissa said yes, and Melissa grew in her faith, and Melissa responded, God introduced her to a lady by the name of Shelley. And because Shelley has said yes, and Shelley is growing in her faith, God is opening doors for Shelley to hundreds and hundreds of women who need to experience that life transformation that God offers. What about you? I had a phone call this week from a lady in our church who's been going through some medical issues. And she's been at the hospital a good bit over the last couple of weeks. And she was telling me that she now understands when people said before to her that they could feel people praying. Have you ever heard people say that? That they could feel people praying for them? She understood what that meant for the first time in her life. Because people like y'all have prayed for her. People like y'all have gone to visit her in the hospital. Or have called her over the phone or sent her text. That she was able to experience God in a different way. Because we reached out and shared the light. Many of you know the story of Trenton. Trenton's a little boy in our church that had brain surgery a couple of weeks ago. And many of you prayed for Trenton. Y'all have been asking me stories. And let me tell you that when Trenton found out a couple of days before his surgery that I was coming to the hospital to be with him on the day of the surgery and to be with the family, he turned to his mom and he said, "Will the guy who opens the door come?" Now, that's the greeter, if you don't know. Steve greets occasionally once a month or so. And apparently this made such an impact to Trenton that this was who he wanted to come to the hospital. I wasn't offended, but he wanted Steve to come. So I called Steve and I said, "Steve, you know, I'm not telling you to come to the hospital. I just want you to know, because you know what? We don't often know what impact we make in people's lives." And Steve said, "Okay, I appreciate it." I got a phone call a few minutes later. It was not very, but a few minutes later that Steve called me back and said, "I'll ride with you." He said, "I changed my day so that I could get off work." And Steve and I rode down, and we were at the hospital when Trenton and his family got there. And we were in the waiting room down at Eggleston. And Trenton comes through the door, and I'm not kidding you, he looks over at us, and he runs the entire length of this waiting room to jump in our arms to give us hugs. You never know what an impact opening a door for somebody will do. You never know what an impact of giving somebody a handshake and a smile will do. Here was a little boy facing surgery that was able to smile because he saw the person who holds the door for him. What an incredible story. It's not bad being a little who. It's not bad being what God has created you to be. Whatever that may be. You don't have to worry about necessarily what everybody else is and what God has in store for everybody else. What's God got in store for you? And then maximize that. Behind every Peter is an Andrew. It's literally true. Behind everyone in the spotlight are thousands of people who get up and do the everyday task. You don't realize it, but there were 10 or 12 people here at 5:30 this morning setting up because we had to set up early for me to be standing here to be able to proclaim the word of God to you. Everybody, maximize your potential with what God has in store for you. You may never preach. You may never sing a solo. You may never be in the spotlight, but you have the ability to maximize your potential with God. If you want a dangerous prayer, let me show you a prayer you can pray. In Isaiah 54, in Isaiah 54, 2 reads these words: "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Otherwise, grow me. Grow me in my faith." Make that your prayer every single day for God to enlarge you, to grow you in your faith. You don't have to be in the spotlight to connect people to the light of Jesus Christ. But because of a little old who, Simon was introduced to Jesus Christ, and Simon went on to found the first church. Because of a little old who, a little boy was connected to Jesus Christ and a miracle happened. Because of a little old who, diverse groups of people came together and experienced life transformation. Because of a little old who, a lady in a hospital who was in a helpless situation felt comforted and felt loved by God. Because of a little old who, a little boy facing surgery was able to smile and know that God was with him. Because of a little old who, a little boy walked and a mama believed. Imagine, just imagine for a minute what could possibly happen if everybody in this room decided to awaken to the power and the Spirit of God that lies within you and to maximize the potential of what God has in store for your life. What would happen if every single one of us served God with every bit of passion, every bit of heart that we had. It's time for us as a church to wake up, to awaken to the power that lies within us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we recognize that often in our lives that we minimize our potential. We look at our lives and we think of ourselves as insignificant. But Father, I pray for each person in this room for us to come to that reality that we recognize that everything you create has value. Every single one of us in this room is worthy because you have declared us worthy. Every single one of us has potential because you have put potential inside of us. And I pray, Father, that as we leave this place this morning, that we can recognize that we have the ability to share your light with every person we meet. We also have the ability to let the world hinder us in our faith, to make us think negatively. And I pray, Father, that we can leave here today awakened to the Spirit that is in us, that we can leave with the reality that we have potential and power because you have said it so. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.